Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
The Stool Podcast.
What do we want?
Mr. Stool!
Dad, who the hell are these assholes?
Guys are so mean.
Those kids aren't real losers.
We don't want your music.
You're their board, but
you guys are so embarrassing.
To win any motherfucker always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
When's the last time you farted in public, Johnny?
What's today?
Today is Sunday.
Sunday,
May 15th? No, May 18th. May 18th. I'm so
it was,
lost.
It was yesterday at work. I work with two guys that are like 20 years old. And I'm all, check this out, guys.
So you did like a public rip.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just like, hey, guys.
I mean, it was just,
I got
us,
one
it was just us three in the store.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm like the uncle. I'm like the uncle over there. They always call me uncle.
You know what's funny is being able to tell that you got one cooking.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you're able to tell it. You're like, oh, dude, you have everybody has that hindsight moment where you're like, dude, I might have to share this with some people right now. All right, who do I got around
this
me?
This
could
right be a good one.
And I'll just film it and send it to my buddies. And you're like, yeah, this one up.
Me and my wife were at Disneyland a couple weeks ago, and we were in the stretching room at the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
At that moment that the lights go off, we heard somebody like
fart,
and you could smell it because everybody was so close together.
That's probably the best place.
We were like,
I was
suffocating.
Literally about to say elevator, but no, that's like the best elevator on the planet to do it is the Haunted Mansion elevator where it stretches.
Yeah,
it literally cropped us vertically for the rest of the room.
Oh,
man, it was putrid.
Dude, that's like a terrorist attack right there.
It really was.
It almost makes me want to like literally take my vengeance out on the world that way where it's like, okay, I'm going to just front load Taco Bell and Wiener Schnitzel. And then the next day I'm going to
Taco
Disneyland
worst,
and I'm just going to hang out by a Haunted Mansion. And then when it's time, just
let
unleash.
No, dude, hang out by all the princess autographs, dude.
Yeah. Just the pictures that they get with the princess, you know, the kids and the princess with like a stink face, like a.
Oh,
you're
good.
You're good.
All these lights.
It
gets a little warm in here.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's do introductions. I guess Johnny, go for it.
Are we ready, Mick?
Yeah, we're running.
Are we running already? Yeah, Mick.
We are rolling.
He hasn't given me the thumbs up, so I'm
he
not
did.
Saying,
you
I'm
missed
not saying
it
nothing
because you're not good at this.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, hey.
There he is.
Yeah.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Stool Podcast. Hey, we got some very fun individuals in here today. But first, Johnny, aka Johnny Savage, on my right, we got
Anthony. It's Anthony. Ranthony John. What's up?
We got Mick on the boards today.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? And then to my left, we got Dennis and Jordan of the band Unworthy. Super sick. I met these guys at my last show. Haven't met them before, but we met. Me and Jordan were kicking it, talking about Pokemon. We've been talking about Pokemon since then. I got to meet Dennis briefly, but these guys are super sick local band. Where are you guys from? Like, what's your city that you claim for your band?
Riverside, Fontana.
Yeah, we claim Riverside.
Nice.
Riverside. That's
local.
Where we
Fontana also.
That's like the hub for your guys' band. Okay,
nice.
Got you. Yeah, from Unworthy.
Do you guys count Rialto or do you look at it like trash like I do?
It's trash. It's trash. Yeah.
Dude, we're going to have people from Rialto like, what the fuck?
Nuh-uh. No, we're not. My brother lives in Rialto.
I used to live in Rialto, dudes. I've escaped the trash. Barely.
That's so funny. Well, thank you guys for coming through and hanging out with us. We like to have fun. You know, we talk music and, you know, bullshit a little bit. But definitely, for sure, tell us right now a little bit about you two. Start with like Dennis and then go Jordan and talk about the band a little bit, where you guys started from and like how it started.
Yeah, sure. You want to kind of start about the how it started and I'll pick up where I came in?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There you go. So I moved from South Carolina to here in California about 10 years ago. My wife is from here. So, you know, after me and my wife got married and, you know, found a job, started working here, I kind of got the itch to play music because I used to play in some local bands and South Carolina.
You played when you were younger and stuff?
Being friends with the bands Through the Eyes of the Dead and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And they were kind of like the band that kind of like sparked everybody in our music scene in Florence to really want to play.
That makes sense.
So, you know, I kind of got the itch to write again. So I started writing stuff and I wrote the first song titled Unworthy, which you could still find on our YouTube. And I sent it to a buddy of mine back in South Carolina. And I was like, hey, I have this idea. Like, I kind of want you on it. And he was really cool. So we did a whole EP together. And then after that, we kind of parted ways. And then I had another buddy in South Carolina. We did like a little mini EP together and I still released it under Unworthy. And I was like, well, I don't want to keep releasing like with different musicians and it sounding completely different. Mm-hmm. I want something more constant. So I was going to a church in Fontana Rancho at the time. And I was asking around and I bumped into this guy named Manny that was mutual friends of mine in Jordan. And I was asking him, I was like, well, would you be interested in like playing together? And he goes, no, it's not really my scene, but I know a guy. He just started recording his own music. Mm-hmm. He's wanting someone who's a vocalist because he doesn't do vocals. So he gave me Jordan's number and I was like, hey, Jordan, this is kind of what I'm going for. And I remember Jordan sent me like a whole instrumental that same day.
I wrote it.
And
that
became our first track together in the face of death.
So to dig in a little bit deeper, when you were writing these songs, you were doing what, like MIDI instrumentation for drums and bass? And
no,
and
I was just writing lyrics and I just had the ideas in my mind. And like, I play a little bit of guitar, but I don't really do like a whole lot. So I was just playing guitar riffs and recording them on my phone and sending them to my buddies and was like, this is the kind of idea I have. This is the kind of sound I want to go
for.
And
then people would
do the rest.
Okay.
And so I told Jordan at the time, I was like, oh, let's do something kind of like Four Today, but a little bit heavier with a more sludgy sound. And I remember he sent me the track for that became In the Face of Death, like literally same day, if not next day.
Yeah, he was like, bet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was like gung-ho. And I remember he was just like, you know, we kind of talked about maybe doing it as a one-time project. And then I think like just a few days later, he goes, you think we could just make this like a full-time band? And I was like, dude, yes. Yes.
Now, segue into your introduction to the band. You're obviously writing instrumental stuff. What are you doing? Like on a DAW, writing MIDI drums, and then guitar, yeah. and you're writing mostly guitar and bass, or
right? Yeah, that's how I started. About a year before I met him, I had just built a PC. I've been playing guitar since I was like 13, and I had never written and recorded anything, and we got that stimulus check, and my wife was like, hey,
there you go.
Nice. Have fun with it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to finally do music now.
There you go.
And nice. So I had just started dabbling in it, and you know, of course, I met him, and I was like, yeah, let's freaking do it. Like he told me, I recorded a full demo that day, did MIDI drums.
Real quick, to geek out with you, what do you use? Like, what is it? Like,
I'm using I'm recording on Ableton 10. I don't know, plugins at that time. I think I was using some STL. Right now, I mainly use Gojira. But
dude, yeah. It's almost Gojira's like, it's great, almost like 10 for 10 of asking people what they use. That's what I use for my guitar tones.
Right.
It's still just my favorite.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can make my shit sound good.
It's the best plugin, dude.
It's so my favorite. It's my favorite. Yeah. And there's other really, really great ones that have come out since then.
Right.
But still, that one is just, it's a gold standard for me. Especially if I'm just plugging in my shit, I'm going in, all right, I need to get this riff out. All I have to do is open that and then fucking there I am. I'm ready.
You just want a demo to sound decent. Right. Like you just throw that on. It's great.
But yeah, go ahead and continue.
Yeah, you know, we recorded that EP together. We put that out by the end of the year. And then I kind of wanted to take it heavier, kind of go into deathcore. And mm-hmm. so we released a couple singles to kind of head us toward that way. And by that time, we had signed with a smaller record label called Rottweiler Records based out in Texas.
Like
so, nice. So we released two records with them. We're Light Divides and This Present Darkness.
Full length records?
No, technically EPs. The first one was six tracks. The next one was seven. I think seven's
that's you know what's funny album. Is like yeah, I like find that a muddy line where it's like EP, LP, where you if you get over six, you've got to start just measuring length. Because if you look at a band like Between the Buried and Me, they put out an 8-track record that's like 60 minutes long.
Right, you know what I mean?
You start having to measure the length of the record. If it's over, for me, it's just the basic rule is if it's over a half an hour, it's an LP.
Yeah.
You could accomplish that in six songs.
Yeah. I think that's Spotify's rule too.
Yeah.
If it's over 6 tracks or 30 minutes in length, they put it on your discography as an LP.
This is my question. Because I don't know if I'm right. What does EP stand for?
Extended play. And long play.
Mm-hmm. And long play?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
which
makes no sense.
Is the long
No, I've made sense out of this because I always used to have the same logic behind it. I always used to wonder like, wait, extended and long are kind of like the same thing. But no, okay, so basically back when records were being made and these terms were being built, we're talking about singles. We're talking about a single song pressed to a record. And so when you started getting into more than one song on a record, when they started understanding you could do that, okay, cool. Well, this is an extended play record. So we have maybe one or two cuts of the song. And then when they started doing the full, you know, records, they're like, oh, yeah, well, this is long. This is a long play record. So that's how they lodged it.
I guess.
Still very stupid.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere that like the technical term for an EP has to be like less than 25 or 27 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a really weird, odd, specific number.
It's like between 15 and 27 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a strange thing for me. It's never made sense. It's one of those things that you could tell that like the guy in charge with the cigar was just like, yeah, just call it that.
Call this one the long boy.
They're like, are you sure, boss? He's like, I fucking said call it that.
Check. All right, we're calling it that. So you guys dropped two EPs.
Right.
Yeah. Technically together we've dropped three.
Yeah.
We've dropped In the Face of Death,
uh-huh.
Where Light Divides, and In This This Present Darkness.
Yeah. Okay.
All of those I mixed and mastered myself because that's just what I was.
Nice.
Good.
That's what I was doing.
They sound good.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate that. Yeah, they sound good.
So I did all that myself. We recorded everything in my apartment aside from like MIDI instruments like drums.
Right.
So we were just a two-man studio band for a while until finally we met some guys in the scene and we got Zach on drums. He came from Classic Disaster. They're another local, more like hard rock, metalcore area band. I played bass with them for a little bit. That's how I met Zach.
Got you.
And then we got Anthony on bass. He came from another local band called Mists of Grey.
I love that dude.
Yeah.
I met that dude.
Anthony's awesome.
He's a sweetheart.
The greatest energy.
I'll tell you, he's got a great name.
Yeah,
he's got a great name.
He has the most infectious energy.
No, I was like, bro. I love this guy. And he's like, let me get your Instagram. I'm like, for sure, dude. Let's freaking talk, dude.
That's right.
I don't even know why, but let's hang out.
Dude, he's such a phenomenal bass player, but he's also an insane guitar shredder.
Like he's a dope bassist.
He's one of those, I enjoyed his
presence and his stage presence.
I think he could just play any instrument he wants.
He's just one of those guys.
He's one of those
guys. He's a drummer too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, I've seen him play on drums. I was like, bro, like, what can't you do, man?
Gosh. There's just those guys that you come across in life where you're just like, you know, if I had exactly that, whatever trigger it is in your brain that you have, I would have done so much more with music.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Whatever, show off. Show off, Anthony.
I want to hear one of these unworthy songs. I say run it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, sure. So these two that I gave you guys, I did not mix and master.
Okay.
Finally entered a stage.
Who did you finally hand the
torch
to?
That's the way to do it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to a point to where we were selling enough merch because being as a studio band and being a Christian metal band, Christian metal has a very large scene online.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of established our presence there first. And so we've been selling a lot of merch where we're shipping like all over the world, like Australia, New That's Zealand, dope. Across yeah. the US. And so we're like, okay, we got enough income now to where like we could start paying for songs. But it's kind of a risk because it's like, okay, we're going to pay like, you know, $600 for this song, $700. Yeah. But, you know, we can't go back to me mixing it now because
it's, yeah, because now you've
can't
upped
sound
the game.
Worse.
Yeah,
the game.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So for these songs, we reached out to Iron Audio. He's mixed Last of Our Kind.
Okay.
From around here. He's mixed That's Cultist. Cool. He mixed the Azalea Dying record.
Azalea Dying. Yeah.
That's sick.
Oh, let's get into Azalea Dying, man. Cultist with the whole thing that they're going through right now, man.
Dude, yeah, for real.
Cultist. Speaking of Cultist, the song was actually written by Eli.
So. Oh,
yeah,
sick.
He came from Cultist. He's our other guitarist now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's
jamming with you guys, and this is a song that he kind of foundationally.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is the first song exclusively not written by Jordan.
Oh, wow. Yep.
That's sick.
So that's why it's so good.
No. Yeah, it's a different direction, and it just works.
Yeah.
A funny side note, Steven from Cultist is me and him were in a band with him. Back in the day.
Oh, that's dope. Nice.
He was the shredder guy?
He's the shredder. Yeah. He's the shit.
I love
he was
Steven.
The shit.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just like, he was like 19 and we were all freaking 30. He was our youngest member. And but he's always been good.
Now, Cultist, I want to say I know the lead singer. I don't remember the name.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I want to say I know him. Like we've talked like in the past because I used to be in Pawn Shatter Dreams and he would like show up to our shows. And then like he asked like he like there was like a while back when I was working a lot with He Films the Clouds where he would
Those
basically.
Those guys were so good.
They're still so good.
Are they still wrong?
Oh yeah, they're still fucking killing
it. They're good.
I think they have some tumultuousness with their guitar arrangement because I know Jeremy was playing guitar for them for the longest time. And they had Jordan in there for a while. And then every picture I see of their shows now, it's neither of those guitarists. So I don't know what's going on. But I love He Films the Clouds. All good dudes. Great guys. I want to say like I watched him like grow from just like a fanboy kid to a member of a local
that's
band that's like now
that's
huge.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cultist is doing great.
Yeah.
They're doing great.
Cultist is super dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played with them at Fretz. That's when I haven't seen Steven in so long.
That's when I met you.
Oh, yeah. It was that day. Yeah, that's right. That was a fun show. That was a good. Those guys are really, really, really good live.
Oh, yeah.
So we dug a little bit into his like trajectory into getting into music, writing lyrics and starting that way. How did you start?
How did I start music?
Yeah.
My dad played guitar in bands growing up. And,
nice.
As a kid growing up, he was a worship pastor. So I was just always had music as a big part of my life. And
right.
I remember my friend at a birthday party, he was listening to music. So what are you listening to? And he threw 94 Hours by Azalea Dying in my ear. And my mind just blew up.
How old are you?
I think I was maybe like 12 or 13.
Okay, yeah. Perfect timing. Perfect timing.
That was the most incredible thing I ever heard. And I remember going home and being like, Dad, teach me how to play like that.
Yeah.
Like tune my guitar. He's like, all right, well, you tune my guitar to drop C That's and I just started chugging away. Like, this is the greatest.
You're like, oh, no
so
way.
Guitar was your introductory instrument.
Yeah.
That's where you started. You didn't start with like piano younger or anything like that.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, it was always guitar.
Nice.
I saw the light of God that day.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Changed my life forever.
I literally spent 94 hours playing guitar after that.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, let's check with you
instrumentally, then, like you said, you write. You know,
I started playing guitar, when I was probably 13 or 14.
Got it.
And I wanted to play in bands, and I played with a few people, but when I got about college age, I started like listening to more that MySpace era deathcore, like Suicide Silence, Jawbreak Owlboy, and I was like, oh, that sounds cool, and I got a 7-string and. The guys that threw the Eyes of the Dead, they all played 7-strings then too. So like I started like wanting to gravitate toward vocals because of like my favorite band of all time, Zayo.
Okay.
And
I
love that high pitched raspy scream that he has. And I started realizing, I was like, oh, I can like duplicate these kind of vocals. And I remember one day I was sitting in the car with one of my friends and I was doing Job for a Cowboy. I think it was either Knee Deep or in Two Men of a Machine. And he goes, holy crap, you can actually do that. And I was like,
yeah, might as well.
I was kind of like, oh, well, you mean like you can't? And he goes, no, I couldn't do that. So I was like, oh, maybe I should start trying vocals. Mm-hmm. And then like There was a band I was playing guitar for at the time, and I didn't really vibe well on guitar. So then I started doing vocals, and people were like, dude, you're a much better vocalist than you are a guitar player. Yeah. No offense. So that's when I was like, maybe this is what I should be doing instead.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got into vocals after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool, man. Honestly, I personally, like, I started with singing and tried to get into guitar and learning that. And so I've always been like, kind of like scatterbrained.
You know,
I'll jump from guitar to piano to bass. You know, and I've just never really focused on one thing at a time. And then I ended up being just a vocalist, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's a sign of a solid writer. Is like, you don't know the instrument you start on.
Yep.
You know, right. You just know you want to write music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's like
kind of the, falls those together.
All right, so that being said,
let's
we
check
got the
out
song armed up.
What do you guys think? The live video or the lyric video?
Live video up?
It's private, but I sent them the link.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we're going to post it in like a week. I'm just kind of trying to stretch out.
Oh, so it would be an
I'm
exclusive?
Trying to stretch out content.
Yeah, yeah, let's do the live show.
This yeah, is
if it's an exclusive.
Yeah, and it's from the show that I played with them.
Yes. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You gotta involve yourself somehow, Johnny. Yeah, you always gotta make it about you.
Whoa.
You see what this guy does? You see what this guy does?
Come on with this janky equipment. All right, we good.
All right.
It's because I pulled it out.
Suicide Mission, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the live video.
Live video.
It's from which
yes, this is it.
You guys want to give a little context for the meaning of the song or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so this is the first track off of an upcoming record that's based off the Book of Jonah from the Bible.
Okay.
Sick.
And nice. So each song is dedicated to a chapter of it.
Sounds awesome so far, man.
I like that.
So this is basically the first chapter where God's telling Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites. And he's like, well, if I go preach to them, they're probably going to kill me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to do this. So this is basically what that song's about.
Woo! That rips, man. This was that chain?
Huh?
This is that chain?
Yeah,
chain.
Look at Anthony slapping.
This is sick.
So when you guys write, this is the new guitarist, right?
This is not.
When you guys write, do you guys do like a lot of like tempo switching and stuff like that?
We have that in a lot of songs, a lot of tempo and a lot of time signature changes too.
Right.
I write weird, and the rest of the guys get pissed
at me all
the time.
I'm jealous of that. I'm so jealous of
that.
They're
like, Jordan, why would you write this? I'm like, well, I never thought I'd have to play it live.
I didn't think about it.
I was just having fun on the computer.
Exactly. That's how.
I'm a big Dream Theater fan, so prog will just naturally come out of me sometimes.
And honestly, I think that literally we are currently in the climate of music, mainstream music in particular, heavily in particular, we are starved from people experimenting with shit like that.
Yeah.
Most songs are 4/4, this tempo.
Super easy, just straight
beginning to end. You know, I hate that.
Need a little flavor.
I need more to my music. I'm sorry.
Right.
And, you know, and I need more creativity behind you know, not only the chord progression, but the tempo and the time signature, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I thrive on that stuff. It's what makes me impressed with music. It's like when I hear something like, wait, how did they do that?
Right.
And
then
I have to figure it out. And they're like, oh, that's fucking sick.
We have this song we play live where the main verse that comes back to, it's in 5/4.
Okay.
And it's such a fun riff. And I remember one of the times I was playing, I could see this kid just sitting there.
Just fucking.
You could just feel it. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's 5/4 right there,
doing
buddy.
Stink
Let's go.
For it. Yeah. 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 And honestly, it, that to me, it's that reaction. You know, getting a reaction of like, you know, five or six people doing stink face to a riff, as opposed to like, you know, mosh pitting or whatever, because it's the easy 4/4, you know, breakdown thing.
Right.
Like, I'll take stink face all day. I'll take fucking stink face. They get it.
Yeah, they understand.
That's the couple musicians you see out there in the crowd. Those are the ones that get it.
To add some context to this live video, I think all of us were super sick that night.
Were you guys?
Yeah, all of us had like major colds, and I was super congested, and I was like hacking up along the whole night.
Oh wow!
So like when my wife was like, "There's no way you're going to be able to perform without like dying on this stage." And what was really
adrenaline cool is what we do.
Yeah, and what was really cool is that Oblige left their riser up there. So I was like, I'm going to make the most out of this riser. So like, I remember there were like, I think these three kids in the front and they looked like brothers. And I remember they were all filming on their phones. And I think during one of the breakdowns of that song, I just saw them go. And
was
I was
bass
like,
drop.
Yeah, I remember their jaws just collectively dropped. And I was like, oh, this show is going way better than I expected for all of us to be sick.
Yep.
And I remember everybody was like, dude, you guys were not only the loudest you'd ever been, but that was the best you'd ever performed. And I was like, I don't know how we pulled it off.
We need to be sick more often.
Adrenaline
will carry you through some shit, man. It really will. It surprises you because you're everyone, every musician is their own worst critic.
Yeah.
And when you're put in that position, it's almost counterintuitive to how you think, where it's like literally like, oh, the fact that I'm doing this because I'm sick is what's making it better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you don't think about that in your own head. And then you look at it back in the past and like, honestly, that I have very similar stories where it's like, I did vocals and I'm just like, dude, I'm so scared about how my voice is going to go. And yes, my voice was fucking fried after. But during the set, I watched the set on video and I'm like, nah, I did well.
I did it.
Adrenaline carried me through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's tight. I mean, I've been there before. I think we all kind of had those days of playing shows where like, yo, I don't feel it today.
Yeah.
I did it at Characters with DNG. I was super sick. I wore a face, like the face covering and everything, because I was just like, nah, I ain't feeling it.
Yeah.
I stayed in my car because it was cold. It was during the winter. So I stayed in my car until we were right where we're about to play. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take my stuff up now. Went straight on stage, played, and then went right back to my car. Because I can't stay out. And it was Characters in Pomona, if you guys know that spot. And it's all outside.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I had to wear the face. Under my pants, I wore the freaking what's it called, like the leggings and stuff.
Yeah,
put on some long johns with the butt flap and everything.
I did it all.
Shows are brutal.
Yeah, so I was like, nah, and it was cold that day. I was like, bro, I ain't doing this. You all right there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I was just listening to your very interesting story.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
bro, I was so sick that day. I just remember that right now. Speaking of,
no, I think we've all played a show where we're sick, man. It's never pleasant, but for some reason when you look back on it, you're like, eh.
I can't imagine a vocalist. That's what I can't imagine that.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
I'd be like gagging on fire the whole
time. That's the thing is like, I think it was our This Present Darkness during the final breakdown. I was gagging, so I was trying to turn around not to show people that I was gagging while doing the vocals. Because I was like, oh, dude, what if I puke right now?
Or like, that's metal, bro.
Yeah, that's about as metal as it gets.
Because I kept
everybody
stopping.
Everybody come to the front.
I was like, and I was like, oh, God.
That's how you get clips, bro.
Yeah.
Literally, like, you want a viral video? Fucking puke.
As soon as we got off stage, my wife goes, I kept seeing you turn away from the mic. And I was like, yeah, I was gagging when I was trying to do vocals. And I didn't want anybody to hear me gag.
I saw JP from Era, the band Era. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. Yeah. He fucking puked on stage. Well, not on stage. Like, he was like literally, he darted out of the, you know how like there's that unloading door.
Yeah.
They were in the middle of like a breakdown and it was hot as fuck in there. So I'm sure maybe they were drinking or something. And so I finally caught up with them. I saw him just dart and then fucking, you see it. You see it like in a person like where it's like, it's coming up your throat and he's like out the door and then he goes, he's missing for like 30 seconds. They're playing the rest of the song, a part where he would normally even be singing, comes back on, fucking comes, rips the rest of the song. And he's like, sorry, guys.
That's a trooper.
I just had to fucking throw up. Give me a second. It's hot as fuck up here. And all of us, everybody's cheering. Like, yeah, it's hot as fuck down here too. You know? That's the life right there, dude. That's the show life.
That's those summer shows, dude.
Yeah. The most like baller thing I ever saw was when I saw Living Sacrifice. They played Reject for their final song. Bruce, the vocalist, he jumped while he was playing guitar during the breakdown. He shattered his kneecap.
Oh, no.
And he didn't get up. He was just laying on his back. And everybody stops. And he goes, oh, man, I think I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I think I just broke my kneecap. And he goes, but I don't want to, like, cheap out on the set. And he goes, can someone get me, like, a bar stool or a chair to sit on? And I'll just sit with my guitar in my lap and we're going to finish the set.
And then we'll take care of the business.
He sits down.
Told you, adrenaline, man.
Bands pick him up. He sits in the bar stool and he finishes playing. And as soon as they stop, he goes, somebody call 911 and get me out of here now. Yeah. So he's being carried out on a stretcher. And I saw a guy with a vinyl and he goes, dude, I'm so sorry to be a dick. But
you got to sign.
Can you please sign this for me?
I came from two towns over.
And he just goes, no, he goes, dude, no, you're not you're not inhibiting at all. He goes, I'm glad. He's like, that's why we do what we do, man.
What a moment.
He was siding on the stretcher. And
what
I was
a moment.
Like, that is like, that's pretty sick.
Yeah. Mike, were you at that show?
That's pretty awesome.
When the bassist from Circus Survive, he broke his leg on stage at the Glass House.
Oh, that's the worst, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Was that with
Receiving in a Sirens? Yep. Yeah. Yes, sir. And Keen. Yeah.
They played, Circa played
on. Neve. It was Circa, was the headliner, and then Receiving in a Sirens, and then I believe is it Neve or Keen? I don't remember
Keen.
The name. Keen.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a great show. But yeah, he fucking broke his
knee. Neve is the guy from Catfish, the MTV show.
Why do you know that information?
I love that show.
You're just admitting to being a girl right now.
Dude, that show is the best, dude.
Honestly, I will tell you, part of me, I have an allowance for trash television like that. I do. I've
it's the
like,
best
like
drama.
Pat, he'll get me into like 90 Day Fiancé and we'll watch three episodes of that. Oh, and it's total trash. It's brain rot. Dude. It's
brain rot.
But dude, honestly, it's really fun.
Really good.
Every now and then, you got to do at least a little.
A little. You got to, it's like I said, it's an allowance. Don't do it all the time. Yeah. Allow yourself some.
Dude, my wife got me into RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh,
that
no.
is the most hilarious show ever. I love it. I'm just like, dude, this is the most hilarious thing ever. Because these are grown men dressed as women doing like with the cattiest and pettiest drama between one another. And I'm like, that's hilarious.
I love the John Mulaney joke. He really digs in to like, you know, drag queens in particular, where he's like asking, he's like, why is it like every like man who feels they need to dress in women's clothes has to be the big brassy woman? They're not ever Carol from down the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The cat lady who's just kind of timid and just, you know, with the glasses. And, all right, well, I'm going to go to the grocery store. No, they're always like, nah, honey, I'm right here in your face, bitch. Yeah. You know, that's
just hella extra and shit.
That's always the personality.
Literally,
it's very
every
funny.
Time.
Dang. I never thought about that. That's funny, dude.
That's what makes it hilarious.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, no, you have characters. You know, that's where you find
that's
characters.
So funny.
And these dudes are like 6'4". And they're wearing heels that make them like 7 foot.
The biggest dudes and shit.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, you want to say that women are good at being big and brassy? Guess what? Men are better at being big and brassy. they're literally larger. And then they're brassier.
It's because they have to prove a point.
Yeah. That woman over there, she's 7'2". 7'2" in her heels. 7'2". You gonna compete with that?
No, what's crazy is that they'll do like a front flip into a split.
Yes.
It's like gigantic people.
Just to convince us that there's just no balls there, right? Is that what it is? It's like,
shit,
see?
I've seen
nothing
that,
there anymore.
I've literally seen that. I know what you're talking about. That's funny.
Wild.
No, oh, I mean, man. Yeah, no hate thrown that way. I could never, I mean, that's just a large personality. I could never.
Yeah, that's.
God bless him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his allowance.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I just love.
You want to finish this video?
I just love watching Love on the Spectrum. That's my shit.
Oh, you.
I keep hearing about
that. Get me started.
I feel like I'm going to end up watching it eventually.
He said it. It's adorable.
It's adorable.
I literally made my own shirt that says, I'm 28.
Yeah. Now, I remember watching, me and my wife were watching a little bit of it, and there was one where a girl was just like, you know, it's like, I love stuffed animals, and I love animals that like eat things with their hands. And I was looked at my wife and I go, that's us. We're just like them.
Wait, you're the animals?
No, we love animals that eat with their hands. And we love watching videos of adorable puppies. And that's what these people do.
Or like raccoons.
Yeah, I was about to say raccoons. Yeah, the girl was watching videos of raccoons. And I looked at my wife and I was like, that's us.
That's what we do.
I was like, are we autistic too?
That's great.
It is a spectrum. Yeah, you know, it is a spectrum. I honestly just like fantasize about the idea that I'm somewhere lower than I think I am on that spectrum.
Yeah, I think you're much higher than you think. So,
damn it, damn it.
Ew, disgusting ads. Yuck, yuck.
Printful. If you want to make super high quality merchandise, t-shirts and stuff like that, go to printful.com.
You band needs merch, you know where to get it, huh? Printful.com.
All right, you're leaning super Italian now. It's like, bada-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Hundreds of different items, mugs, hats, shirts, sweaters, hoodies. Anything you want, you could put your logo on, band designs, you could throw it on pretty much everything. Do stickers, buttons, patches, all of it. You can get it printed and shipped, and you don't have to leave your house or buy any shipping materials.
Easiest way that you could make merchandise or things that you could share with your fan base.
Get all your merch for your band. You can sell it online, and guess what? They do the printing and they do the shipping for you, so you don't have to do shit else.
You literally just have to do the sharing with people, and then they do all the rest of the work for you.
Yes, easy money. You design the stuff, you share it, and Printful takes care of the rest. Also, you can put Printful with Shopify or something like that and work them together.
Now, Johnny, tell the people how to spell that again.
Printful.com/a/dunce. printiful.com/a/dunce.
Pretty good. I'm fucking proud of you on that one.
I thought I wasn't going to get it.
That's printful.com/a/dunce.
Dunce.
Oh, yeah, let's finish out this video.
All right, for sure.
This is fun. Brought to you by Skittles. Not really, though. I wish.
Yeah, we're going to have to bleep that. I'll take a red.
Oh, are we doing the lyric
got,
video now?
I think it got restarted.
Uh-oh.
This is the lyric video now.
Okay.
Oh, they got a cover for today. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Oh, yeah, let's go back to that.
So let's go through the members. Obviously, you on vocals, you on guitar. Yeah. Bassist is your guy, Anthony.
Anthony.
Yeah. Other guy on guitar is?
Eli.
Yeah. And drummer?
Zach.
Yeah.
Zach is the baby of the group. He just turned 21.
Oh, wow. Don't you hate that?
I think
he's like, dude, you're so the most good. Talented out of all of us, and you're just the youngest.
Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah.
I
hate it.
So we can finally play at all venues now.
And he's grown so much as a drummer since we first met him. Like, I mean, he's been taking lessons from Brandon from Whitechapel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I remember when he told us, we were like, oh, dude, that's awesome. And like, yeah, he's been learning so much stuff that he's been utilizing.
That's really dope.
Yeah. Yeah, and now having all the guys in the band, now they're throwing their flair into the music that we're making, and it comes out so much better when it's a team collaboration like that.
Damn, that's pretty sweet. I mean, that's what it is when it's a band, you know?
Yeah.
You guys are a team.
That's what I was most excited about, just because I would get in a lot of, you know, ruts in writing. I'd get stuck, and now I have other guys that can help me finish it out, especially with not only do I have Eli, but Anthony being a shredder and a great writer too. I'm like, we got three guys who can like write songs on guitar.
Yeah.
Bouncing around ideas.
Yep.
This song Eli brought to me over a year ago. And this EP was originally supposed to be like a split record.
Song. Yeah.
It was supposed to be a split record with multiple bands. And it kind of got canned, and we still had like two songs that we wrote for the record. So we just hit up everybody else. We're like, all right, well, we're just going to do the record on our own things. We already got two songs written. So,
And you guys end up doing just the two songs for it, or what did you guys end up doing?
No, we've got a full four songs.
Yeah, four songs.
For this. Yeah.
Nice.
And I mean, like, I think all the guys have been contributing. And
yeah.
Hearing like the demos for the new songs, I was just like, holy crap, there's so many more elements now that we haven't really used prior. So, that's really looking forward to it.
Right. Are you guys all working on the same DAWs, or you guys work together and just share stems kind of?
Yeah, we're kind of like writing demos on our own time, and then we'll like send it to each other, and then I'll have them come over to my house, and then we'll kind of hash
track it
out. Track it out and then listen to it for a while, see how it sounds, nitpick it, and then, you know,
finalize it after that.
It's funny how writing has developed, huh? You know what I mean? Like from the garage days, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like how it used to be. Like if you were in a band, all right, cool, we're writing on the spot. And then if we recorded on, you know, we didn't even have phones back then, you would have to record it on a computer or something like that.
A real something.
And fucking, you know, it's changed so much now. It's like, oh, the writing process is more or less like, we really get time with it.
Yeah.
We get time with it. And it's like, I think that's why we get the quality that we do at this point. Like, I feel like if you were to tell me to try to compete with the Doors in that era, or, you know, like a band like that in that era, I'm like, no, I wouldn't compete. Yeah. I would not compete. Like I need, I'm the type of musician who relies on the technology to be as good. You know,
we're spoiled.
Yeah, right.
I remember.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah, I remember playing in, you know, in one of my bands. We were all poor, and we were playing in one of our buddies' garages, and it was just like the guys would just sit there and write riffs, and the drummer would play along, and then I would just make up some lyrics on the spot, and then we just hope that everybody remembered their parts,
right?
Mm-hmm. And we were just like, oh, okay. When we think we have a full song, we got a full song.
Yep.
And that's basically what we had to do.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. This is almost like a catch-22 to this whole technology thing, where it makes you wonder where if you're that good, if you're a band that good, where you did remember, and you remember the arrangement, and you remember the lyrics, and you remember all the parts of the songs individually as a band, doesn't that make the refining process of songwriting a little bit stronger?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, totally. Nowadays, like you said, we're spoiled. You know, where all of us have the potential, okay, cool, since I don't have to remember it, my computer remembers it for me, you know, we get to write this song. You know, and then like, you know, back in the day, that's one of the things where it's like, I really do think I was born in the wrong age. I really wish I got to flourish in that age before technology took over.
Right.
And I'd see if I could test my mettle as a musician.
Yeah.
Right, you know,
Like, do you guys listen to The Chariot at all?
Oh, I fucking love the 68.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, like they recorded all their albums live in studio. Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, how is that possible? Because of how ridiculously chaotic that music was for those guys to be able just to coordinate and record all their songs live.
Lightning in a bottle, man.
Don't they got a video like that where like the singer's like walking into the studio and it's all set up?
Yeah.
And then they just
doing the song. Yeah.
It's a live performance of the song.
He's one of the most fascinating musicians in history.
They were the craziest live performance I ever saw. They played at a church in my hometown before they got signed.
Yeah.
Like there was some kid in my hometown that played in a screamo band, and he was friends with this indie band called Cool Hand Luke. And they were playing like a show together at this church. And the guys at Cool Hand Luke were like, well, we were on tour with The Chariot. It's the lead singer, Norma Jean. He just started this new band. Is it cool if we bring them for like the more hardcore kids?
Yeah, that's
and
the coolest.
He was like, yeah, I guess so. And I don't know if they told the church or not. And they were playing at this church gym. And I remember Josh was just like, what's up, everybody? We're The Chariot. We're going to play some songs. And he jumps, and it's in a gym, so he grabs the basketball net, and he suspends himself upside down over the stage, screaming as the rest of the band members run around.
I
want to
say there's like a famous video of that.
Yeah, and they're just throwing their equipment, and people are horrified. And I was like, what is going on here? But I remember talking to all of them, and dude, they were, it was just ridiculous.
What's your guys' opinion?
That's great.
On theatricality of performance, you know what I mean? Like,
I love it.
You love it.
I remember getting so much crap once for telling somebody that I thought Between the Buried and Me was boring live because they didn't move around.
Hey, you don't say that.
They're you, amazing you musicians. Yeah.
This that's was that's like, blasphemy around here, bro.
Like, this dude was like, no, you don't understand. It's about the musicianship. But I was like, I'm seeing them live. I want a show. I don't want guys who just stand there and go. I want to see headbanging. I want to see, like, you know, people getting into it. Because that I think, to me, that's the best aspect of the music scene is seeing people just lose it live. And you see the emotion on people's faces. Like the first show that we played together, I saw a guy in front of me, like face to face, screaming my lyrics back to me. And I was just, I just felt like a connection. I was like, I am one with this guy now. I love him. You know, because I was just like, that's what it's all about to me is the live element.
Yeah.
No, no matter what stage you're at in like your music career or whatever it is, whether it's a hobby. The second you're on stage, you're an entertainer.
Yeah.
People paid money to come see you play and so entertain them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
On, I agree with that.
And to me, I mean, I'm personally in the same camp where I wouldn't say I'm like an extremist over performer kind of guy, but I love the movement. I love
this guy's lying, dude. I think you see him live, you're like, this guy is performing.
I think the job of a front man or even a guitarist or whatever is to show the audience how to move to the music.
Yes.
Yeah. Show them how to do it.
Right.
Like literally, if there's a part where it's like, all right, here's the drop and we're headbanging.
Yes.
Right.
Your job is to show them how to headbang.
Right.
Show them when to headbang. Show them when to mosh pit. Show them when to fucking, you know, do circle pit.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's sort of your job.
Yeah.
I can agree with that too.
To me, I like for example, a perfect example is a band like The Chariot. They're one of those bands where it's like, it's utter chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's utter chaos. And so you just have a bunch of people like swinging and going crazy.
Oh, I remember seeing them so many times and thinking to myself, am I going to get hurt?
Right. And so, okay. So
yes.
This, we've talked about this and like kind of bracing and grazing tough guy culture in the scene, basically. So to me, I love energy at a show, right?
Yeah.
So this is the hypocrisy in me or the kind of contradiction in me is I love having that energy. I fucking hate tough guy energy at a show.
I think there's a fine line.
The guy who's there to crowd kill.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? I fucking hate that.
I think you can have
sucks.
Energy.
How do we eliminate that but still
you can have energy without like the without hurting people.
Without violence.
Like, I'm like one of those guys, if somebody falls down, pick them up.
Yeah,
right.
Dust them off, make sure they're okay. I remember going to like Scream the Prayer with one of my buddies who was like a big, you know, 6 foot, like 300-pound football player. And I remember watching him, he swung a fist and he accidentally knocked a guy unconscious.
Oh shit.
But I remember he picked that guy up, he carried him outside, he woke him up and he was like, dude, I am so sorry.
I want to make sure
you're okay.
And yeah, I was like, responsibility.
That's the attitude. The attitude to have. If you hurt someone, take care of them.
He's like, man,
get him out of the pit. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man, but you just got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. I remember, but he felt so bad.
He did all that effort.
Yeah. He was like,
the entire time. And then once he came to, when the guy came to, he did it all for that punchline. Yeah. You just got knocked the fuck out.
I got it on clip to a world star.
Yeah. But
yeah,
dude,
that's cool though.
Yeah. I remember one of the other craziest things I saw at a show was when me and my wife went to see Zayo at the Chain Reaction. It was when Russell had rejoined the band and he's known for crazy stage antics. He jumped out during their last song and I don't think he anticipated the audience not being able to catch him with his guitar. He fell through the audience.
Oh, no.
Broke the headstock off his guitar.
Oh, no.
Ripped all his facial piercings out.
Oh,
and he's just bleeding all over all over the stage, all over his guitar. We have pictures on like my phone somewhere of the blood covered stage. And my wife goes, that is the most metal thing I've ever seen. She goes, if more metal shows were like this, I would go with
it. That's metal as fuck, dude.
And I remember seeing the guitar player Steven from The Chariot at I was at a two-story venue once and he was in the balcony with us. He climbs up the balcony, walks on the railing and jumps off the railing into the audience and they caught him. And I was like, dude, you could have died. And he goes, I didn't realize how tall like the building was. And he goes, until I was up there, but he goes, I couldn't chicken out.
Yeah, I do it. I already showed people I'm up here. I gotta fucking commit to the bit. Yeah.
I think I saw Tuck from Fit for a King do that like a year or so ago.
My sister is obsessed terrified of heights.
I could never do
that. Fit for a King. She has an obsession with that man.
Oh, yeah?
Don't tell her boyfriend.
If there's anybody that I have a man crush on, it's Brooke from Impending Doom. I've met him on so many occasions.
Yeah, I know. He's the best.
Yeah, and he's like one of those guys, he remembers you by name.
He does.
Yeah. Because I remember even after I moved from South Carolina, I came to the we saw them when they recorded Pay With Bones, the music video.
Uh-huh.
And I remember after the show was over, he was walking through. And I remember there was a crowd of people like walking up to him and he just points at me and he goes, Dennis! Yeah. And my wife looks at me and she goes, what?
Yeah.
And he runs up and he just gives me a hug and he goes, dude, you finally moved to California. And and my wife goes, how did these people?
No,
and I was
best.
Like, dude, yeah, he's just the biggest sweetheart ever.
The biggest sweetheart. He has the most darkest, he has the most positive voice.
Energy. He has the most positive energy I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's the
I've
best.
Literally seen people walk up to him and go, why do you smile so much?
Yeah, uh-huh. Hey, that's why I always rep Impending Doom. That's like my all-time favorite local band. Like, and they're not even local anymore. They're pretty big now.
Yeah.
You know? He said it several times on the podcast how much he loves it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, they changed. Yeah. They were such a game changer when they came out. Yeah.
My brother back in the day used to book them. Like
between
a lot of shows.
Them and Suicide That's Silence, sick. I think they were like the biggest influences on deathcore back
yep.
then.
Yep. Yep.
Suicide Silence was Riverside too, or were they considered Corona?
Dude. Yeah, I would say for Southern California, they really did invent a scene.
One of my
literally, there was a scene built. There's in different parts of the the United States or even the world, however you want to put it, there's certain bands that just do that.
Yeah. Biggest regret those are, of my life.
Those are big ones.
The first time I ever visited California, I was like 19. And I remember I got off the plane at LAX and I was at baggage claim. And I saw a really tall, skinny dude wearing a wife beater and skinny jeans next to me. And he was covered in tattoos and he had a shaved head. And I was like, that guy looks familiar. And I was like, why do I know that guy? But I was too scared to say anything. And then I realized it was Mitch from Suicide Silence.
And
I was like, dude, I wish I would have gone up and said something to him. But I remember seeing them live once with Mitch in North Carolina. And dude, his energy, like that. I was like, that's the guy I want to emulate.
Watching them at Bamboozle Left in 2009 is what flipped my whole script on deathcore entirely.
I was not a
deathcore guy. I was like more like a screamo kid. Right. I love like The Used and Thrice and Shut the Fuck Up. And but they got me really very much into heavy music.
I was getting
into Born of Osiris and shit like that.
Right.
But they really like that when watching them play live, I was like, nope, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it now.
I just remember seeing like one of those live videos. I think it was like for Bludgeon to Death or like one of them when they were using the Family Guy samples. I just remember just seeing how erratic his headbanging was and like the crowds. I was like, holy crap, this is what I want to see in a band.
But I remember seeing Suicide Silence at Showcase Theater in Corona.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Doing Battle of the Bands.
That's crazy.
With my brother's band.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Sick. Back when Mitch still had like short hair.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember that. And I was like, these guys are fucking nuts. Mitch was like bleeding from his head and shit. I was like, this is crazy. I've never heard anything like that, you know?
That's awesome.
My brother's band was all fucking ding, 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 ding. they played like circus metal. So I was like, you guys don't belong here.
Honestly, circus metal, underrated as a genre.
Mr. Bungle, one of the greatest bands to ever do it.
I was about to shout out
Clowncore.
That was the best.
Clowncore, dude.
Remember that? That was the best.
I mean, are we talking about that video where they're in like the
clowns?
There's one. They're in a porta potty. Yeah.
Yeah, in a porta potty. Yeah.
Those guys are the best. Who are you saying though?
Wait, what happened?
You were talking about somebody
like circus core.
Circus.
Oh,
style music.
Like metal. Early like System of a Down. Like
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like to me, like that's when you implement like that genre, you know what I mean? That was the band that like kind of changed shit.
Avant-garde,
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I still think to this day,
There's no band like System of a Down.
No.
Especially if you look at those first like two records and demos.
They were crazy.
I mean, they invented, to me, I mean, like you said, circus chord, that word kind of struck a chord with me. I let me see, what is it? Up in the Sky, the name of the song. But there's a song that literally, yeah. It is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
That's a great song.
And it's like, to me, when I heard that for the first time, I was like, never heard something on a record where there's like scream. Yeah, it's on the self-titled one. Where they're like screaming and there's hard, you know, they're gainy guitars and stuff. But it's like circusy fucking music. I'm almost confused, but I love it.
But that's what Mr. Bungle's done since they were 80s,
like,
bro.
They were one of those, they were definitely, I think, one of the first bands in that like rock metal scene that was like, we don't have to take ourselves seriously.
No, yeah, we do whatever we want.
Yeah. And I think that pissed a lot of people off because even now there's still metal elitist.
Yeah, yeah.
That are like, oh, metal has to be serious. It has to be scary. Yeah, yeah. It has to be intimidating.
I remember being on forums when I was like 16 years old, like on Facebook and like MySpace, like promoting Mr. Bungle as like metal. And everybody's like, this ain't real metal. What are you posting this for?
Like, I remember like
it's metal. Listen to it.
I remember like when I Wrestled a Bear once came out and people were talking. People were just like, oh, like what they shouldn't be so comedic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's wrong with it?
I love a band that doesn't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that's the thing we try to do too. Like in our band photos and behind the scenes stuff, we try to post that because it doesn't have to be serious.
No,
all
not
the time.
All the time. Nope.
Yeah.
That's what my band does. And I'm like, whatever. I'm yourself too seriously. All of our pictures are all. I'm like, this is not what I do, dog.
You know, something I wanted Jordan to post, and we probably should still do it sometime. Is like in our in ears when we're listening to our tracks, like when we were doing this suicide mission, Jordan goes, okay, the song's about to start counting down. This is going to be the biggest dump you've ever taken in your life.
Yeah.
And dude, I remember the first time we were practicing
that. That's in ears?
Like, we were all just like,
it's just a recording.
We all just lost
it.
Yeah. Cause he was like, he would give notes in the in ears.
Yeah.
And sometimes
that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. He would just start like making jokes.
That would fuck me up.
During like the instructions for the times and interchanges.
It's all literally dark. The lights are going in. And he's like, all right, ready to take the biggest dump of your life? And be like,
literally, the beginning of Suicide Mission are in our ears. The click starts, and then you hear my voice go, a suicide mission. Just like when you eat Taco Bell and Wiener Schnitzel and then take a laxative directly before going to the doctors to have a colonoscopy. Let's get it, boys.
The fact that
I use cues in my backtracks.
Yeah.
I'm taking that. Cues. I could customize.
Right.
Of course I'm gonna start customizing.
I never even thought about that being an option.
You know, and the fact that you don't see us crack live, it was a test. How many times we've heard that.
Now, next time I go to watch you guys live, I'm going to start laughing.
Yeah,
like,
I know
what we're listening to.
You'll look for it, their break on their faces for a second, like, it just hit.
No, if you really want to see the antics, you should watch us on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were on Instagram Live the last time we were practicing, and I was in the bathroom because I'd got sick while we were practicing, so I had clogged Zach's toilet. And then I come out of the bathroom, and I'm like, Zach, dude, I clogged your toilet.
I'm so sorry.
And then I look and I see they have the camera set up and they're filming.
Shit.
And I'm like, are you guys live right now? And then I can just see like people commenting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
You got to appreciate that happenstance, man.
You just see the poop
literally.
Emoji?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think there was only like 5 people on Instagram Live that knew it. But I remember like you sent a video to Anthony since he wasn't in practice.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I mean, I'm very sensitive right now with clogged toilets. I recently this week, I've had a very rough couple of weeks. It's been a very crazy couple of weeks. I don't know why. But one of the things that happened to me is the other day, like I've had plumbing issues at my apartment, at my place. And I took a shower the other day, and do you guys shit before you shower?
Use the shower head to bidet myself.
Well, I have a bidet.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the thing.
Nice.
I have a bidet.
Nice.
So I'm set.
Bidet's amazing.
But sometimes you do that and you forget to flush beforehand, right? And so I was
taking my shower after. I was like, okay, cool. I'll flush the toilet afterwards. And I've been having plumbing issues. Never thought I would experience this. But,
oops.
real smooth.
Mic. Real smooth. Yeah. Okay. So, so after I'm showering, my shower's kind of getting like clogged up. It's like backed up. So I'm all right. Cool. Done with shower. Let that drain out. I go to flush the toilet. Shit water backing up into the shower.
Well, when I grew up in South Carolina, my grandparents that I lived with, we had a septic tank.
You
can't imagine the number of times because we had a septic tank. We
had to deal with this shit.
Yeah, you had to deal with that. And I remember the house, like, I remember it would smell like sulfur. So when my wife would fly back and visit, and we would visit my family,
Let a match.
Yeah, I'm like, honey, you be careful when you take a shower. She told me, she was like, oh man, when we get back to California, she's like, I am going to take the longest shower. I'm going to like wash all that stink of sulfur off of me. Because we had hard water. And there were days where I was getting ready to brush my teeth and it would come out yellow.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh. I would sit there and it'd be like orange and yellow. Oh, and I'm no. like,
yeah, no,
I have to wait a few seconds for the water to start turning clear again.
Dove right in.
I have the best landlords in the world and they took care of it.
It built up my immunity, though.
Yeah,
like anytime, dude, you never see me having to like take a dump after Taco Bell or Wiener Schnitzel. Because I remember my wife. Anytime me and my wife go get fast food and she gets sick, she's like, "Why aren't you sick?" And I'm like, "I was born for this. Immunity." South Carolina, like, yeah, there's South Carolina.
There's
like,
an iron chamber inside of this.
I was like, hold up, dude. Carl's Jr. does something.
Carl's Jr. Yeah, it does. The times that we've got Carl's Jr. when I'm recording at his place, I have like both times I had to back up his toilet.
Yeah. Oh wow. All right.
And his plumbing's bad anyway.
So yeah. I mean, so we're dealing with an ongoing onset issue of him backing up toilets.
Yes. It's a common thing.
Common denominator. Yeah.
You just need to go to Anthony's and Eli's house now.
Yeah, I have to go to their house.
You have to use less toilet paper, Dennis.
Yeah.
Well, no, he said he's a bidet guy.
I
think it's the most, honestly, every human on the planet should spend the $60 to invest in a cheap fucking bidet.
I told my girlfriend the same thing.
It's a game changer for your life. Bidet? Just think about this. Think about this, guys. You never have to touch your asshole again.
Bidet and squatty potty.
Oh, the best combination.
That team together will change your life.
I told my
It'll
girl
change your bowel movements, change girl, your life.
I told my girl, I was like, I'm gonna get a bidet, you know, because I go to the restroom all on the other side of the house. I'm like, you don't want this. go there. I'm gonna get one for this. I was like, we should get one for the bedroom though. Like you would like it. And she's like, no, like that's no.
I honestly do kind of question it with chicks because the way it feels for me, it's like, you know, like my ball hang, like stop the water splash. But if it's a chick, that's like going straight, you know what I mean? God. Straight into your but shit. She so said, I get it. She said I get why they doubt it.
She said she's called it a bidet. I was like, all right, come on now. She's like, you want that shooting at you? Like that?
Do you want me touching my asshole or just splashing my asshole? You know, Which one?
Pat on it and then we're good.
But no, I feel like that's a game changer, dude.
Yeah,
to me, it was a game changer. Like you said, in the shower, if you have the fucking handle, what are you? Let's be honest, as a society, what are you doing with that handle when you really get the chance to do it? You're cleaning yourself effectively.
Yes.
You're cleaning yourself effectively.
Dude,
all right?
I don't have a handle, so I just do like the Rambo when they have to spray him down.
Yeah,
just go against the wall. Just.
I used to do that too before I had like a removable shower head.
All right, go outside. Spread them.
Water hose right at the pool.
Spread them.
But no,
your wife, get me. I need to hose me down.
When are you coming home? I'm in the backyard waiting. I'm gonna have to call the neighbor.
No, I honestly think it's an archaic way to live your life if you're still using toilet paper. I think it's antiquated and it's gone. Get rid of it.
The best I got right now is the wipes. I love those wipes.
I'll go wipes. I'll tell you this right now. I have wipes that I carry with me.
Travel wipes.
Travel wipes, bro. Travel wipes. You take wipes with you because you know you're not going to have a bidet with you everywhere
you
go.
Nothing is more defeating than going to a bathroom and
you just carry a
you
water
see the
gun.
One ply. You see the one ply toilet paper
super soaker
that you can literally.
Super soaker. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you got that one ply toilet paper that you can see your hand on the other side.
And I'll tell you this right now.
I don't want to have an accident here.
In the direst of times. I've broke on through to the other side, and it's never felt great.
Public toilets
it's
are
never
the worst.
Felt great. You don't want to break on through to the other side. Don't want to do that.
There's only one place that I've ever had diarrhea, and I was like, oh, thank God that this bathroom is nice. Have you ever heard of Buc-ee's, the gas station?
Yeah.
So they just built a Buc-ee's in my hometown like a few years ago. So when me and my wife were visiting, she's like, let's drive out to Buc-ee's and see what this is about. Yeah. The bathrooms literally look like palaces.
Really?
And they have like giant stalls like as wide as this couch. Every bathroom stall is as wide as that couch. And it's like a private stall. The door is like completely like you're enclosed.
There's no crack.
That's tight.
The toilet paper is like three ply, like cottonelle toilet paper, like Charmin style. And I was like, good thing.
This is a nicer bathroom than I had at home.
Dude, I had diarrhea like really bad. And I was like, thank God if I was going to have diarrhea, it was in a bathroom like this.
Yeah, yeah.
They got it renamed to Bougies.
Bougies.
Dude, it is the nicest gas station ever. It's like literally the size of a Walmart on the inside.
I heard they're great.
They have like a restaurant that serves like the best barbecue sandwiches you'll ever have in your life.
I gotta check this out. Yes. Everybody talks about Buc-ee's.
Amazing.
People wear Buc-ee merch.
Yeah. Like we bought Buc-ee merch.
Honestly, I'm trash because I like food from Love's. So I mean, I'll tell you right now that I'm not the best gauge for like classy
gas
shit,
station
you know?
Food. No, it is like a whole nother level. It will change your life.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
You know, the on the way to Vegas, damn, what is that place called? It looks like there's like a big bucket and it's like ice cream. Oh, can't think of it right now. That place is sick. It's like that. It's like there's literally like a whole ice cream bar. There's a whole freaking beef jerky bar. Like,
I love beef.
Are you talking about the place that has the alien jerky?
Not alien. I love alien jerky, but it's like.
What's alien jerky?
Oh, it's on like the way to Vegas. On the border between Nevada and California.
In Baker, California.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like a giant UFO.
If you're driving
store.
From California to Vegas and you don't stop at the Mad Greek and Alien Jerky, you're not doing it right.
Alien Jerky's the best.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this.
Or the Del Tacos in Barstow.
I will say this.
I used to work there.
Mad Greek.
Yeah.
The Euro.
Not at
the Euro from Mad Greek. The Euro from Mad Greek. Have you ever had it?
No.
You never had it?
No.
It's the best in the world. It's the best in the world.
I need to go to Vegas.
It's the best in the world.
I've been saying this anyway. I want to go take a couple few hundred bucks out there and go.
You need to go gamble?
Go gamble it away.
I've only been to Vegas once, and that was the catch a connecting flight. So I was literally in Vegas for like 15 minutes.
Did you see?
I used to live out there.
There's a checklist of you have to see. If you're in Vegas, it counts that you were in Vegas. It's a three-thing checklist. Did you see a prostitute?
I might have ran by one. I
was,
don't know.
Was there a hot woman in heels? Then yes. That means that you saw a prostitute.
That means yes.
Did you see one of the casinos?
I saw slot machines.
There you go. Boom. Boom. Yeah. He's killing. And did you eat at a buffet?
No, I didn't have time.
Damn it.
I literally had 15 minutes to catch my connecting flight.
Vegas experience.
at that airport, they have slot machines.
Yeah, I literally saw slot machines.
I remember leaving
in
Vegas
the
last time I left Vegas. Me and my girlfriend at the time, like we went there for Comic-Con. I had won kind of big. I won like $1,500.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
So it was pretty nice. Take that. I was like, I was kind of like chilling. And then, you know, we were gassing up to leave. It was like a Sunday morning. It was probably like 8:30 in the morning like 10:30 in the morning. And we hit Jersey Mike's and we're like, all right, cool. We're going to eat these on the way home. 4-hour drive. It's going to be a pain in the ass, but we'll have sandwiches, whatever. I hit the gas station. And there's fucking slot machines in the gas station.
Wow.
In the gas station. And I'm like, you know what? Here's a 20. Let's pop it in. Win $60.
Nice.
What the fuck is up?
Let's go.
That was my best Vegas experience.
I'm up.
Best Vegas experience.
I remember when I was
ever.
A little kid, like all the gas stations, like everywhere in South Carolina had video poker machines.
Yeah.
But like, I remember they outlawed it when I was like a teenager. But I remember my grandma used to take me to the gas station. And she would play poker machines.
Yeah.
I would just walk around the snack aisle, just picking up snacks. And she would buy me snacks. while she played poker machines at the gas station.
It's crazy. It's yeah. That one state has just made it okay. Like, all right, yeah. Gambling is our culture.
Everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, South Carolina was like that for a while, but
you're like at the doctor's office in the waiting room. Just like,
we don't got any magazines, but we do have a poker machine over here. Yeah.
No, like I started recently going to Yamava here. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's a nice
I'll
casino.
I'll use the free play.
It's a fun night. You
and
go
I remember
there.
My first night there, I had $20 of free play, won like 140. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. We go for trivia nights. They have a Disney trivia night coming up. So me and my wife are like, we're going to crush that.
Yeah, honestly, I'll tell you right now, call me trashy or whatever. That's a fun night to me.
Yeah.
You go out there, even if, like you say, let's say you have like 80 bucks or under. Yeah. Let's say you blow the 80 bucks, still a fun night.
Yeah.
Let's say you make some money, even better. You know, but it's still just a nice
not
fun
a fan
night
of the
there.
Food there. I've eaten there twice and the pizza was... Pizza was
thinking?
Mediocre.
What are you thinking? There's so many places to stop along the way. You don't eat at the casino.
No, we tried it one night because we were there for so long and my wife was like, I'm starving. Let's eat. So somebody was like, oh, go to that George Lopez restaurant.
Yeah, that place
Dude, it was the most mid. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know if it was a bad night, but dude, that food was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I would not eat there again.
I'm not a big eat at a resort type person.
Yeah,
I
would not
eat
there again.
I like boutique restaurant style places. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so here's a good one. You're not from California. You are from California.
Yeah.
In-N-Out.
Oh, dude, love In-N-Out.
Love In-N-Out.
Ever since I've been to California, In-N-Out.
I don't get people who don't like In-N-Out. They're out there.
People hate on In-N-Out fries, but I love In-N-Out fries. It tastes like my grandma used to like cut up potatoes and fry them.
It's fresh fries.
It's homemade.
It's what fresh fries
it's
taste
homemade.
Like.
Homemade. It tastes homemade. And like, I will die on that hill that In-N-Out is probably the greatest fast food burger ever.
I never understood
why. We're not pounding. We're air pounding.
Now,
right
there are, since I've moved here, there are other California burgers I love.
I like the
Baker's.
Habit.
Baker's
is phenomenal. Where else are you going to get a taco burger?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Baker's is awesome.
Baker's is phenomenal. Me and my wife, if we don't feel like waiting in line at In-N-Out, we'll go to Baker's.
Yeah. That's my little sister's whole philosophy.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? I'm going to go to Baker's because I don't have to wait in the line that In-N-Out has.
Yeah.
And Farmer Boy's is really good too.
It's just it's so
if
expensive.
If you could afford it. If you
it's
could
so
afford,
expensive.
They have like a mini meals now where it's like $9.99 for like a big cheese box or like $11.99 for a double cheese box.
Just
so
a block
I'll,
of cheese.
I'll go that. Well, it's like it comes with like a small side of fries and the double cheeseburger and a small drink. So I'm like,
not
I'll
bad,
pay that
but
much.
Still, back in the day, dude, a double cheeseburger and fries was like $6. I don't want to be one of those people like peddling on like the oh man, the economy's going to shit or whatever. Yeah, but man. Yeah. You think about it. You think about it in a logical, away from the economy, away from what money means. Is a burger and fries worth $10?
Yeah, for real. Even more. I mean, like you go to Carl's Jr., you get a double Western bacon combo. You're paying $15.
Yeah.
Carl's
Jr. Right.
For Carl's Jr.
So I remember.
But I love it, so I'm still going to buy it.
I remember one night.
So good.
I'm desperate for meat. I need meat.
I remember one night, my wife's sister asked me if I'd go to the Carl's Jr., down from where we lived. I got her kids like a kid's meal and then I got like two combos and it was $47.
That's nuts.
Dude, are you guys old enough to remember 29-cent cheeseburgers at McDonald's?
Oh yeah. Dude, I mean that would be like literally, I think it was like a Wednesday, Thursday thing, right? Yeah. Was it? Where it was like 29-cent cheeseburgers or hamburgers on Wednesday, 39-cent cheeseburgers on Thursday. That would be a thing that my family would like.
Yeah.
Hit. We would hit it. Same thing with Del Taco. They would do like the like 10 tacos, 10 burritos for whatever.
69-cent tacos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we would hit that for real. And I remember we would feed our fucking family for like $11
My
or some
favorite,
shit.
Like it's crazy. Fast food promotion of all time was, I think I was in like, I think it was when, God, what was the movie? Hercules came out in like the mid 90s. And they
I can go the distance. Take me with.
Yeah.
I can find my own. Mike, help me.
I can go the distance. Yeah. 49-cent cheeseburger.
Great song.
They had 49-cent cheeseburger, 99-cent double cheeseburger, $1.49 triple cheese. I remember me and my cousin would have my grandfather stop us by Burger King every day after school for $1.49 triple cheese.
What is this?
What is this?
What?
This is CKY. Like my chopstick, hit you in the shit with my little ass dick. You don't remember this?
Remember, he did the McDonald's song.
This guy?
Yeah.
No, do you remember, if you guys remember Wesley Willis, Rock and Roll McDonald's?
No.
No, he was like this, schizophrenic musician in the like the 90s or something. He was like this big black guy and he would headbutt his fans. And like he had these big scars on his forehead from headbutting fans. But he wrote these weird songs and they were like stream of consciousness.
This is immediately a guy that I think should be more famous than Iggy
Pop.
But
he got famous.
What is going on?
He got famous because they used his song Rock and Roll McDonald's in that movie Supersize Me.
Okay.
And it was just like, all he did was play keyboard and he would just sing. And it was like, Rock and Roll McDonald's, Rock and Roll McDonald's. And he's like, don't eat Big Macs. Don't make you fat. It was just like these weird random lyrics. If you ever get a chance, look it up.
Man. I'm definitely looking this up.
Yeah,
for
there was
sure.
a dude that I went to college with. He was obsessed with like these weird indie artists. And I remember he showed me that song. And I was like, dude, this is the weirdest friggin' thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's awesome.
This gives me faith in the idea that I can be a musician and definitely do something better than this.
Yeah. But the fact that they use that song in like Supersize Me, yeah, is a testament. I guess pressing on gets you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and it's funny, dude, you know, kind of just centralizing back. Let's, you know, bring it back, I guess, to music. When you look at like marketing like that, right? Yeah. All of us as musicians, we are subject to those late nights where you're either eating at a fucking Denny's or you're going to fucking Taco Bell.
Yes.
Taco Bell. You know what I mean? So Denny's, it's like this is part of musician culture to me.
Yeah.
Is fast food. Yeah. You know what I
yes.
mean? I think that it is a part of it. I remember a couple of years ago they were doing a thing. Taco Bell was doing a thing where if you could prove you're a touring musician and you're on a tour or whatever, they would like give you free food at the end of the night.
What?
You guys remember that?
Oh, no.
You guys remember that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that should be more of a thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'll go on the road, and if you tell me that I'm going to need a cheesy gordita crunch at the end of the night, that's I don't even get paid.
That's crazy.
That's payment right there. That's saving me $12.
No, I remember like I
that's
saw.
That's pretty sick. I remember
seeing something that Impending Doom posted once where they were like, we're eating at a Wendy's right now after a show, and we literally saw Taylor Swift's tour bus pull into the Wendy's.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they were like, we're eating with Taylor Swift, basically.
Now, what are the odds that Taylor Swift actually eats something straight off the menu?
That's
of
what
Wendy's?
I'm thinking. Like, she probably got a salad.
She got something where there were, she was like,
or just a
okay,
frosty.
So Taylor Swift is here. We need you to make her like a fucking chicken bacon ranch salad that's not on her menu.
You
like,
know she didn't order it herself either.
Yeah, some assistant came to the door and was like, hey, yeah. I'm Taylor Swift's assistant. You have food here. Taylor wants some.
Yeah.
And we need to make her something special. She didn't get a fucking double stack, dog.
No, it's crazy, though. It's my wife showed me something like a few weeks ago where Lady Gaga, I guess.
Oh, you're walking around with a Baconator and shit? Yeah,
like, I can't even picture it in my own brain.
Yeah.
Taylor with like, you know, like with like a good like, you know, sweet and sour dipping sauce and some nuggies.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not picturing Taylor dipping nuggets. Taylor right. Swift doesn't dip nuggets. If anything, someone dips Taylor's nuggets and then feeds them to her.
Right. No, but what's crazy is my wife showed me an Instagram post a few weeks ago where I get Lady Gaga was like in Los Angeles and she just walks into an In-N-Out randomly in costume and she's just like sitting there waiting for her food and she's just chilling with a bunch of people.
Lady Gaga.
And I'm like, but I will say this.
I'll say,
out of all pop musicians today, I think she is the most real artist out there.
She's pretty
like,
badass.
I love her music.
I find it a kind of weak move to go in there in costume, though.
That's
no?
that part.
That's the weird
like.
Part. Yeah, definitely, weird part. Especially if you're filming
she's
the
doing
whole
it
thing.
As an act.
If, yeah, yeah, if you're doing the, if you're filming the whole thing and you're in costume, that's a weird move. I'll tell you this. I mean, I don't want to brag or like, you know, kind of throw my chops around, but like, when I was working with Craig Owens from Chieros, you know, he helped record my band's, you know, old EP and stuff. And then when he came out to LA, he knew I was out here and he asked me he was like, hey, like, I don't know anybody out there with a car. Can you, you know, maybe just, you know, drive me around for the day. I got to pick up some stuff for my storage, get to the airport. And then, you know, so I just chauffeured him around for the day.
Yeah.
And, and so, you know, we did that. We hung out, we listened to music. It was honestly just a super cool day. We just kind of hung out and smoked weed. It was pretty cool. But at the end of the day, we ended up, he was like, hey, you want to hit In-N-Out? You know, like, and so we went into In-N-Out. There were several people who fucking recognized him. Several.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And he was like so fucking chill as a celebrity.
That's tight.
To me, he was just so chill. He was just like, oh, hey, yeah, yeah, you need me to sign something? You want to take a picture? Blah, blah, blah. That to me is like, that's the energy.
Real shit.
If you go into In-N-Out in costume, you're saying
you're
something.
Looking for
you're doing
it.
Something.
Yeah. You're looking for that Instagram post.
But yeah, that's one thing I always paid attention to with like musicians is fan interactions, like how they treat their fans.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've seen you know, I'll go ahead and call a band out. Like I remember seeing Striper when I was like in college.
Striper.
And like I remember like going like me and my buddy waited at their tour bus and like literally their lead singer Michael Sweet goes, no, we don't have time. We already did a paid meet and greet. We got to go.
Yeah.
And I remember their guitar player Oz, he actually walked up to me and my buddy and goes, hey, I'll sign your stuff. I don't mind. And I was like, it shows that like one member was willing to stay behind, mm-hmm. but the other wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember like, you know, meeting Tommy Green from Sleeping Giant. I remember that his band members were yelling at him. They're like, Tommy, like, we got to go, bro. And he's like, no, some fans asked me to pray with them. He's like,
wait.
He's like, tour can wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'll never understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll never understand the, like, I'm holier than thou mentality.
Like, and I don't have time
to meet exactly.
Fans.
It's like, yeah. Dude, you have
or
all you the
have,
fucking time in the world.
Or you have to pay for my time. And
honestly, yeah. Maybe on that, like, you're selling out arenas level. You know, let's say
maybe
you're selling
there.
Out arenas
yeah,
and say, okay, so practically I don't have enough time to meet all these fans
yeah,
or whatever.
Right.
And,
you can only do what you
but
can
if
do.
You're if you're yeah. at Chain Reaction, you're at the Glass House.
Yeah.
There's less than a couple
Bitch
hundred
make
people
time.
There. Yeah. There's less than a couple hundred people there that are like literally feeding you adoration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're there to support what you do. I'll tell you this right now. If there were hundreds of people at any one of my shows, I would meet every
single
one of them.
Yeah,
I would
do
every single fucking one of them because to me, that's the reason I'm doing it.
I'll call somebody else out.
Totally.
And Scott Ian of Anthrax. I met him recently at CreepyCon in Ontario. I was literally the only person in line to meet him. And I was like, hey, Scott, you know, I remember seeing you when I was like a kid, 16 years old in Myrtle Beach. And he just looks at me and he gives me this blank stare and he goes, well, damn. And I was like, can I get a fist bump or something at least? And he just kind of reluctantly gives me a fist bump. And he just looks so pissed off to be there. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, dude, you should be happy that you like had someone in your line to meet you.
Yeah.
Like he just had this like permanent scowl the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that I don't know if he was having a bad day or something.
Well, I mean.
Well, you were the only one in this line.
Yeah. If you look at it contextually, I will say that. And that's one reason you don't, I'm not trying to criticize Scott Ian. I'm actually a big fan.
Yeah, I'm sure. Maybe
that's why you don't do cons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, it's like the same thing. It's like, okay, I'm looking for people to make money off of my signature or a picture with me. That's the wrong motivation to be in this business, in the business of entertainment.
Right.
I get why people do it and I get why fans go to those cons and stuff.
Right.
But part of me really does wonder why that business exists.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in reality, let's say it is a person like Scott Ian, what are you there to appreciate him for? Watching him play music.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a horror con. So like people aren't going to be there for Anthrax, you know?
I would go meet him because
small
of
handful of Anthrax fans that are there. Yeah.
Yeah. And to speak to that point a little bit is just that like having a person be bitter in front of you, it changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
And in reality to me, like I said, I think maybe it's because we're people who have always aspired to be bigger as musicians or reach people, have an audience and have people who support what we do. And then watching other people just like squander that and not care about it. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of a thing where we're like, no, like fuck you, dude. Like if I was in your position, I'd be all smiles.
Yeah,
right. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
right.
The coolest band I ever met was a Norwegian death metal band called Extol.
Okay,
and this was when they were playing. It was like one of their last albums. They switched to alternative prog rock, and they weren't getting a whole lot of press on tour. So they were having a really tough time. And I remember seeing them with some buddies and I saw their guitar player walking around. I was like, hey, are you the guitar player from Extol? And he grabs me and he's shaking me excitedly. He goes, you are an American fan of Extol? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, did you bring friends to see Extol tonight? And I was like, yeah, I did actually. They're over there.
Hell yeah.
And he goes,
do you want to come out to Van and hang out with all of
hell
us?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's are you serious? And, and I remember he grabs me by the hand and he drags me outside to this giant RV. And he's screaming. He's like, guys,
we
guys,
fan.
American Fan Expo. And they
that's
all jump. They all like come out and they're all like, American Fan. And they're all hugging me and they're taking pictures. And I never seen a band who was more excited to meet their fans.
And that's
than
what
them.
You want.
And yeah, they were just, awesome. They were so sweet. And they were just asking all their fans that are like, you know, how's the weather in America? Is it normally like this? And they were, you know, talking about Norwegian culture versus American culture. And they were just, yeah, the sweetest, most appreciative guys I've
that's
ever met.
That's awesome. And that's what you want from yeah. a band experience. I could name, you know, bands in the past that, like, you know, were, like, Four Years Strong is one that yeah. I would say that I went to an Enter Shikari show to see Enter Shikari, and 4 Years Strong was opening up for them. And they literally, they did, this was kind of an arrogant move, but they did the thing where everyone was waiting outside of the venue along the line, you know, waiting yeah. to get in. And they walk and everyone's like, oh, it's 4 Years Strong. But they fucking were like, oh, anybody who noticed us, hey, you want a picture? Hey, you want a signature? Not to make money, not to sell merch, right, nothing. Right. Literally to make a relationship cool. with your fucking
yeah.
fans.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the reason you're there, yep. bro.
And each person they did that with, they're going to remember that the rest
exactly.
of their life.
I do.
The moment, that
was,
yeah. the moment
dude, that
I
was
met
like 2008,
that band.
I fucking yeah. remember yeah. when yeah. that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's a big deal. That's like yeah. a big yep. part yep. of the whole exchange is yep. if you want to be in a band, you need to learn that part of the sacrificial nature of it is that you're going to be publicly recognized and
exactly
how you choose to handle right. that is going to determine how yep. fans perceive you. Yep.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a good perception, not only even that as a motivation, if you want to be a good fucking person,
yeah,
then right. fucking just yeah. be nice to the people who support you.
yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Very
yeah.
simple. Very
it's
simple.
Not that hard.
So all these people with the egos. Speaking of which, I'm going to read my statement to Ronnie. No. No, we'll wrap on that. I think we're wrapping up here. We're pretty close to the end here. So let's start with plugs from you guys.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's tell the camera, tell the people where they can find you, what to listen for, what's coming up next for Unworthy. And go ahead and do that right now. Camera's right there.
Sure. Social medias, anything social media. Where you can find anything.
Individually and
yeah,
the band.
We're basically on every social media, Instagram, yep. Facebook, Unworthy Band.
Yeah, unworthyband.ca on Instagram. Same thing for Facebook if you use the Earl, unworthyband.ca.
Okay.
Same for TikTok.
I like that you say Earl. I feel like I'm one of the only people who says Earl.
Hold on.
Everyone says URL. No, yeah. It's an Earl.
It's an Earl.
While we're plugging stuff, I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course.
My wife's little brother asked me if I could plug him.
Yeah. Okay.
The Tone Garden, he fixes and repairs guitars. He does
Oh, what?
So where if you know anybody that needs a setup.
We'll put a link in the description.
The Tone Garden on Instagram.
Okay. Tone Garden on Instagram.
Hell
check that out.
Yeah, he works.
He works out of Southern California?
He works for Fender in San Bernardino. He does all the guitar setups before they ship them out.
Fuck,
so he inspects all the guitars. So now he wants to help anybody he knows if they have guitar that needs
repairing. I'm
going to
be getting details from you directly right after the podcast.
That's exactly what I'll give you. I'm going to need his number.
Hell yeah. We'll try to put a link to that in the description.
Oh, yeah. He's a shredder, too. Like,
I could do that.
Any guitar, stringed instrument, he just kills it.
There. Hell yeah. There. Anything else, guys?
Jordan?
No, I mean, that's all our tags. And then just keep looking out for new music. We're going to be releasing
shows?
A bunch of music.
Any shows coming up?
Well, this Friday. I don't know when this is dropping.
This will drop on Thursday, Friday.
Okay. Right. Well, we got Friday, May 23rd. We're actually playing with your band, DMG.
You guys are on that show too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're playing with you guys.
So we got some more hangs.
It's going to be Corona. DBZ.
DBZ and Corona.
Oh, the DBZ. I haven't been there yet. I want to go.
It's rad.
I've not been there yet.
It's a cool spot.
My homie's the one that runs it. I want to get him on the pod.
Yeah.
And then Chain Reaction again on June 26th.
June 26th.
Playing with Bloodlines, Confession of a Traitor.
So May 23rd, June 26th.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Sick. Awesome.
Anything
awesome.
On Victorville?
June 1st in Victorville.
Okay, so May 23rd, June 1st, June 26th.
There you go.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, we'll post those dates in there. And Johnny,
if you guys got flyers, send me flyers.
Yeah, we'll do.
For sure do.
Yeah.
For me, you just check me out on Instagram and TikTok, Johnny Savage, JONNYSAVAG. If you like music content and sports cards and Pokemon Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh.
We didn't do any cards.
That's what you like. That's what I post.
What a shame.
But go ahead and follow me on there, TikTok and Instagram. Follow my band DNG Heavy on Instagram. We got some shows like this one with Unworthy at DBZ and Corona. That is on the 23rd, so make sure you come out. And then I think that's pretty much it. Oh, The Dunce. Follow The Dunce, my other project here with Mick. Make sure you follow that. We got some more music coming out. Follow, make sure you like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube.
The also, if you're on Podcast.
If you're on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, make sure you like it. If there's anywhere you could comment, leave us bad comments. We love it.
I'll leave a bad comment.
Jordan, we only engage with bad comments. We don't respond to good comments or positive comments. Only to bad stuff. And then you can find me at Ranthony John on Instagram. That's the only place that I do my own solo social media. Follow my band Dead Widow CA. We're still relatively active, even though we're not the most active right now. But I'm also doing this band called Witch. Witch, the band on Instagram. I'm playing bass and singing for that band. It's very fun. And we'll be playing some shows here in the summer coming up. I'll announce that on the next episode. And Cherry Coyote is really in the works. We're practicing live and we're getting everything together. So me and Mick do you know how to classify that as a genre, Mick? I call it like rock funk. Funk rock?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Funk rock?
That's what I would call it.
I have a hard time with it. It's kind of like a synth pop with like indie.
Yeah, very hard to classify. I guarantee you, once you guys hear it, it's very fucking catchy. So Cherry Coyote, Witch, and Dead Widow, TA. What do you got, Mick?
All right. So what I got...
Cherry Coyote.
Is. There he is.
Once again. Yeah, Cherry Coyote.
Double plug.
I just kind of just keep it flowing. So yeah, Cherry Coyote in with this guy. He's playing bass. We're getting stuff set up. We're in the middle of getting these tracks all sorted out. So you'll be hearing more about it soon. You can check me out, Mick Stradamus. I am in The Dunce. Go ahead and check out The Dunce. We have links in the description below. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe right now. Do it right now. Please.
Do it.
Hell yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Hit that bell icon. It helps us a lot. Gives us a share. Show someone something kind of crazy if you like it. And you can find me on Instagram at NoMix. NoMix Given. You can find me there. Go and do that. And I'll talk to you guys some other time.
This has been The Stool Podcast.
The Stool Podcast.
Thank you guys for watching. We love you. Thank Dennis and Jordan for being on our panel here.
Thanks
today.
Guys for having us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We love you guys.